Father, as we open thy word and we search for the truth, we pray that we might all happily submit to what the word of God reveals, embrace it as the early church did. And we thank thee for giving us this blessed book, for its fullness and for its richness, and for giving us the privilege of being living epistles to live out the truth that we discover in thy word. We ask for help now in the Savior's name. All right, these are not in any order, just as I was handed them. There is one question which will be dealt with on another evening, but I'll just make one comment on it. It says, I was christened as a baby. Should I be baptized? Well, generally speaking, christening is an act on the part of the baby. The baby generally doesn't make the choice themselves. And the purpose is not so much what we would call believer's baptism. It is usually thought to be a kind of New Testament counterpart to Old Testament circumcision, in which the baptism of the baby, or the sprinkling of the baby, brings it into a covenant relationship with God. They're not saved by it, generally, but safe. That's the thought, that there's now a special relationship, and godparents make promises relative to the child, and when the child comes of age, they're confirmed, meaning they say, what was said about me at my baptism, I confirm that, I agree with that, and that's what I want to do. See, so that particular process of confirmation, of christening and confirmation, is a very interesting tradition, but it has nothing really to do with biblical baptism. In biblical baptism, we saw in Acts chapter 2, they were saved. They gladly received the word of God. They were saved. That was a conscious choice they made. Repent and believe the gospel. And that's what they did. They made a second choice, conscious choice, and that was to be baptized. And baptism was a public declaration of a completed act. In other words, when you go into the waters of baptism, you're saying, when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I rose to walk in newness of life. And so I'm publicly telling the world that I personally have received Christ as my Savior. It's a conscious choice. The third step was they continued steadfastly in meeting with the people of God. So we have an example in Scripture of people who had had a certain kind of baptism. It was not believer's baptism. It was the baptism of John, which was a baptism of national repentance and preparation for the coming of Messiah. And when it was discovered that these people, they were honest seekers after God, they wanted the truth, they hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit. In other words, they had been disciples of John, they were like Old Testament saints, and when they heard about this, they gladly received the pieces to the truth that they had not yet discovered, and they personally were baptized. Although they had gone through a baptism, it was not believer's baptism. So when the question is, should I be baptized, I can only assume the person is telling me, I've already been saved. If you haven't been saved, there's nothing in the Bible about baptizing people who are not truly saved. And when we say saved, we mean people who have made a conscious choice to repent of their sin and have faith towards God. Repentance and faith, in other words, turning from my sin to God's Son and receiving him as Savior. Once I've done that, I want the world to know that I'm linked with him, and I make a public declaration of that through water baptism, believer's baptism. So, as I say, we'll have an evening on baptism and the Lord's Supper, and during that time we'll be looking. There are seven different baptisms in the New Testament, and it's good to keep those clear in our mind as we study the subject.